Episode 76, Five Ways a Biblical Worldview Can Bring Hope and Healing to a Broken World, Part 3.
Welcome to the Principles and Practice Podcast. This is where we discuss biblical principles for life and learning. I'm your host, Heather Hall, and this is my co-host,
Brian Hall.
Welcome back to our show. If you are new to the Principles and Practice Homeschool Podcast, we'd like to welcome you as well. We're continuing our series on five ways a biblical worldview can bring hope and healing to a broken world. In episode 68, we covered politics, but think government. And in episode 73, we've covered economics. In this episode, we're covering education. And by the end of this episode, you'll better comprehend how a biblical worldview in education can bring hope and healing to a broken world. Our premise for this episode is that God has the answers to life's problems, and they're given to us in His Word. His biblical principles guide us in living righteously and help us be discerning. So let's go ahead and begin by defining education with Webster's 1828 Dictionary so that we have a firm biblical worldview about education.
Okay, so we're going to define education. We use the Webster's 1828 dictionary because it's the biblical worldview dictionary. The first definition of education, it is they're bringing up, as of a child, instruction, formation, and manners. The second part of that definition is education comprehends all that series of instructions and discipline, which is intended to enlighten the understanding, correct the temper, and form the manners and habits of youth, and fit them for usefulness in their future stations. And the third part of the definition is to give children a good education in manners, arts, and science is important. To give them a religious education is indispensable, and an immense responsibility rests on parents and guardians who neglect these duties.
I'd like to unpack his definition down a bit here because I see both internal and external qualities that are important to touch on. The internal aspects of education are instruction and discipline. And those two work together to enlighten the understanding, correct the temper, form the manners and habits of youth, and help them become useful for their future stations or roles in life, which are internal qualities of the individual. The instruction and discipline have a great deal to do with both the philosophy and methodology of education as a whole. In other words, there is an outworking in the life of the individual because of the type of instruction and discipline that is given to them. I think that as God educates us to conform to Christ's character, He is working from the internal to the external. And that should be our primary focus, too, as we educate our children.
And keeping in mind that the Bible instructs the parents to instruct their children. And so, you know, we have that responsibility to instruct them, and we're going to instruct it from God's Word.
Mm-hmm. Within his definition, Webster notes that education is to enlighten the understanding. And I'd like to look at the key word enlighten within that definition and discuss it a bit.
So enlighten means to make light, to shed light on, to supply with light, to illuminate. Also means to quicken in the faculty of vision, to enable to see more clearly. Entry 3 of this definition is to give light to give clearer views, to instruct, to enable to see or comprehend truth, as to enlighten the mind or understanding. Entry 4, to illuminate with divine knowledge or a knowledge of the truth. And within that definition, we're going to look at the word truth. Entry 1, conformity to fact or reality, exact accordance with that which is or has been or shall be. Entry 2 is true state of facts or things.
Right, so education shapes thinking and worldview. That's why biblical education matters. The worldview that an individual carries with him or her has to do with how he or she functions in society. That not only shapes the next generation, but it also shapes nations. Imagine how much better the world will be when more individuals not only share the gospel with others and Christ's kingdom grows, but also imagine how much the world will be improved by Christian character and the implementation of biblical principles in areas like daily life, education, the arts, civics, and so forth. That comes down to discipleship. So education really is discipleship because it's shaping worldview. I'd like to preface the next statement with this quote by Darrow Miller from his Power of Story talk. He said, Many of us are born again in our hearts, but we're not born again in our minds. So with that quote in mind, someone can be saved by Jesus, but not have a biblical worldview in each academic discipline and sphere of life. A challenge with education isn't just Christian parents sending their children to a public school. The challenge also has to do with syncretism within Christian schools and much of the Christian curricula that's out there. By syncretism, or dualism, I mean that they teach the Bible, and then all of the other subjects tend to either have a Bible verse sprinkled here and there throughout the textbook, or else the other subjects are treated as being neutral. And for the most part, Christian education doesn't teach individuals how to reason from biblical principles and apply those principles to life. So if a Christian teacher or curriculum developer has a socialist or secular humanist worldview at best, a moderate Christian worldview and philosophy and methodology for learning, then biblical character thinking and reasoning isn't being produced in the student. That thought segues into some biblical principles found in Proverbs and Deuteronomy. Proverbs 4:23 teaches us, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And if you go to Strong's Concordance and look up heart, Strong's actually breaks down the definition of heart into several categories.
In summary, it's broken down as inner man, mind, will, heart, and understanding. It's broken down further in this list: inner part, midst, heart, and then the soul and heart of man, mind, knowledge, thinking, reflection, memory, so like intellect, inclination, resolution, and determination of will, conscience, heart, which is a moral character, and as seat of appetites, and as a seat of emotions and passions, and as a seat of courage.
Yeah, so if you think back to Webster's definition, a lot of his definition encompasses the heart, like how it was broken down by Strong's. So the moral character, the appetites, the emotions and passions are all a part of correcting the temper and enlightening the understanding from a biblical worldview and forming the manners and habits of an individual. And Proverbs 9:10 instructs us with, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." Well, if they're not getting biblical reasoning and thinking within the different subjects and in areas of life, then it's going to be very difficult for them to have wisdom. Mm-hmm. While there's the principle of individuality within each subject, there are like unifying biblical principles among them, as well as some that are distinctly pertaining to each subject.
So adding to the conversation, the subjects are not unified by a biblical foundation. It causes that dualism that Heather was talking about. So I'd like to highlight the definition of wisdom. Entry one, it's the right use or exercise of knowledge, the choice of admirable ends, and of the best means to accomplish them. This is wisdom in act, effect, or practice. If wisdom is to be considered as a faculty of mind, it is the faculty of discerning or judging what is most just, proper, and useful. And if it is to be considered as an acquirement, it is the knowledge and use of what is best, most just, most proper, and most conducive to prosperity or happiness.
Yeah, and how would individuals judge what is most just if they're not turning to God's word to learn about those principles? Mm-hmm. What is most just in family government or church government or civil government? What is most just in the governing of oneself? What is most just when it comes to economics or education, or even religion or social issues? We're not going to know that if we are not turning to God's word to learn the principles within those areas. In Deuteronomy 6:7, and this is from the NASB version, instructs us in the following way: "And you shall repeat them diligently to your sons and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk on the road, when you lie down, and when you get up." Well, it's a bit challenging to instruct our children diligently if they're sent away for hours a day under the instruction of individuals who don't have a worldview that the Bible is absolute truth, and don't teach the children how to reason from biblical principles within the academic disciplines and within the spheres of life, which happen to overlap with each other, by the way. So all of those principles that we just covered in Proverbs and Deuteronomy require teachers, parents, and curricula that has a biblically theistic worldview for both life and learning. And here are some closing thoughts. This following quote is by Jean Calderon. A student wants to know what the teacher knows. A disciple wants to be who the teacher is. And the following quote is by Reverend S.W. Fulgham. Take religious thought, sentiment, and aspiration from the atmosphere of our education, and men will soon be animalized, and this government sink beneath the green pool of its own corruption. So if we neglect to seek the Holy Spirit about what to teach our children, and if we neglect to seek the Holy Spirit for teaching our children as He leads us, then we miss the opportunity to disciple our children and grow together. Also, our children need us to teach them how to reason from biblical truths, that being biblical principles.
By teaching our children and ourselves biblical truths, that's going to help with that healing of a broken world.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to close with a shout out to the Christian homeschooling parents who take the diligent discipleship of their children seriously. No one else has been given your favor by God to disciple your children.
What's your worldview regarding education? Is it socialist, secular, humanist, moderate Christian, or biblical theistic? Are you certain of your answer? You can find out by taking the Peer's Worldview Test by Dan Smithwick of Nehemiah Institute. You can go to worldviewcheckup.org for a stress-free online test and immediate results. Use our ambassador code AMB103 to save 15% off your purchase and support our ministry at the same time.
As always, if you're looking for additional resources or support, you can visit our website at principalacademy.com, check out our shop and our blog, and you can also find us on Facebook at Christian Homeschooling with Bible Principles, also on Instagram under Principal Academy. Thanks so much for joining us.
All right. Well, this is Heather Hall.
And this is Brian Hall.
For Christ and His glory.